Right, thank you, Brother James. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John this morning, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'd like to share a few words concerning being troubled in heart. Our Lord Jesus said in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's read John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. We'll read and then I will pray. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask and pray that you would now teach us from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray once again. Amen. At the close of chapter 13, our Lord Jesus has just said before his disciples that Simon Peter will deny him. Even though you'll note there in chapter 13, verse number 37, that Peter said, "I will lay down my life for thy sake." Now this would have been very unsettling news to those disciples. And that's why the Lord Jesus here in chapter 14, verse 1, begins by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." We live in interesting days, do we not? And with this background, our Lord Jesus was encouraging his disciples not to be troubled. Stop, in other words, being concerned. Stop being upset. And this would imply to you and I that it is a choice as to whether we choose to be upset, concerned, or anxious. And as I've said, we live in interesting days, do we not? Unusual days, and with this coronavirus pandemic, many are very troubled. What can we learn from our Lord Jesus from this passage of Scripture that will help us not to be troubled? Note there in chapter 14, verse number 1, he asked his disciples, "Stop being troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." Note then verse 1, it doesn't read, "Let not your hearts," plural, "be troubled." Let not your hearts. So he's dealing with them as individuals, personally. And I'd like to encourage you this morning on the first day of the week, let not your heart be troubled. And then the Lord Jesus went on to say in verse number 1, "Ye believe in God." It seems that many are overly worried, anxious, some even beside themselves at this time. And I would submit to you simply because they do not believe in God. We've all witnessed this fact firsthand with all of this panic buying. And just as our Prime Minister said, "Stop it. It's not necessary to fill your pantry with a ton of toilet paper and rice and pasta, live chickens and more toilet paper.
Our Lord Jesus is telling his disciples, stop it. Stop being upset. Stop being concerned. Stop this anxious spirit of yours. But let me ask you this morning, do you believe in God? See, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe in God? The Bible teaches us in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool have said in his heart that there is no God. For the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. God has revealed himself through creation. God has revealed himself through our conscience. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe in God? Let not your heart be troubled, ye that believe in God. If you continue to reject God who has revealed himself through our conscience and through creation, through the person and work of Jesus Christ and through his eternal word, then you will continue to be anxious and you will continue to be troubled in spirit. But if you will accept God into your life and believe in God, you will be on that pathway of overcoming worry and anxiety. You might ask the question, how can I accept him? How can I believe in God? See, believing in God, according to the scriptures, is beyond just a head knowledge. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, what does that belief entail? It entails trust. Placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friend, let me ask you this morning, do you believe in God? See, let not your heart be troubled. And the Lord Jesus went on to say, ye believe in God. So in other words, for those that believe in God, that know God in a very personal way, there is no need to be anxious. There is no need to be troubled in spirit. So to believe in God is beyond just a head knowledge, it's a heart issue. And that's why Romans 10:13 teaches us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to turn from your sin and invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior by acknowledging that you are sinful and you need forgiveness, and Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin, for my sin, on that old rugged cross. He was buried, he rose again from the dead. And if you will repent and receive him personally into your heart and life by faith, you can know God. You can truly say, I believe in God. I have placed my trust in the God of the Bible. See, people all over the world are troubled. Why? Because there is a major shift away from a true belief in the living God. That's why the world is so troubled. And see, Jesus Christ, as he addressed his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. And then note, he went on to say in verse number 1, believe also in me. Do you believe in God? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Oh, I trust you have. If you've yet to make that decision, I'd like to invite you on this day to acknowledge your need of a Savior and to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And in humility and by simple faith, just cry out to God and invite him to come into your heart and life to be your personal Savior. At that point, you can truly believe in God. And from that basis, you can move on and take comfort in the God of the Bible and his precious words. That's why the Lord Jesus went on to say in verse number 1, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." See, God's word, the Bible, is a source of comfort for the child of God. That's why you probably are aware of the fact that 9 out of 10 funerals, you'll find that Psalm 23 is read. Now, why is that? Because it's known as a psalm of comfort, a psalm of hope, a psalm of encouragement. And the Bible teaches us in Romans 15:4 that there is comfort through the Scriptures, and it's in the Scriptures, the Word of God, we can have hope. So the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Take comfort in me, said Jesus Christ to his disciples. Take comfort in my words, said Jesus Christ to his disciples. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, take comfort, my friend. For those of us that are Christians, take comfort in Jesus Christ this morning and in his precious words. See, God has revealed his workings, his will, his mind, and also the future within the pages of the Word of God. And this gives us a landing pad for hope. Hope is a positive expectation, something that we can look forward to. And my Bible teaches me in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life that he promised before the world began. God is not a liar. God's word is true. And it's within the pages of the word of God we have hope. We have hope in the truth of the eternal, precious word of God. Now, what specific hope does our Lord Jesus give to his disciples within this passage of Scripture? He's told them in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." Stop being anxious. Stop this worrying. You might say, "Well, Pastor, I can't help it." Yes, you can. Otherwise, why would Jesus Christ say, "Stop it"? Stop it. Stop your worrying. Stop being upset. Let not your heart be troubled. But you must believe in God. And if you believe in God, believe in me, said the Lord Jesus, and believe in my words. So what specific hope does the Lord Jesus give his disciples here in John chapter 14? Note then verse number 2, please. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, hand washing sanitizer might be in short supply at the moment. But the hope that God offers is endless. An eternal supply of positions in heaven for you and I. And my friend, this morning, let not your heart be troubled. There is room for you. There is room for me in heaven. And the Bible makes reference to this place called heaven as the Father's house. "See, let not your heart be troubled," said Jesus Christ to his disciples. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house." In my Father's house are what? In my Father's house are many mansions. And just like the disciples qualified for this eternal relief package, so do you and I. This eternal relief package of eternal hope is available to all. And you will not have to join a queue to get it. You can go directly to the source, which is Jesus Christ, and receive it by faith alone, because Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." No queues. You can go straight to the source. There's an endless supply of this resource known as heaven that is available for every blood-bought child of God. My friend, this morning, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me ask you, do you believe in God? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Our Lord Jesus went on to explain the details, the fine print of this hope that should relieve you and I of feeling anxious, upset, troubled. Let's note the fine print. How often we have been disappointed because we have had an expectation only to be squashed because we failed to read the fine print. Or we did not understand the fine print because the print was so small that we couldn't read the fine print. But I'd like to encourage you this morning concerning the fine print here. It's very, very clear. See, Jesus Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And note this last little phrase in verse 2. "I go to prepare a place for you." My friend, Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you and I. Many mansions. Jesus Christ is preparing heaven for you. Now, how did Jesus Christ prepare, and has he prepared heaven for you and I? By dying on the cross for our sins. He died, was buried, and rose again, and he provides access for men, women, and children to enter into the presence of God the Father, the Father's house, as Jesus Christ terms it. "I go to prepare a place for you. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I go to prepare a place for you. My friend, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? If you have, Jesus Christ said, "Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." And then let's read on in the third verse, it reads, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." So Jesus Christ has prepared a place for you and I in heaven. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he's provided redemption, forgiveness for all mankind that can be accessed by faith. Jesus Christ came the first time to save us from sin by dying on the cross. And he is coming again, the Bible teaches us, to remove us from future judgment. What future judgment are you referring to, Pastor? Well, if we had time, we'd go to Revelation chapter 6 and read from chapter 6 to chapter 19, where the Bible spells out very graphically this future judgment to come. It's called the tribulation period. It will last for a literal 7 years. And for those of us that have received God's gift of eternal life, we will be taken from the earth before this period begins. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is coming again. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," verse Number three, I will come again. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. And then verse number three goes on to read, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And in preparing a place for you, I will come again. To what end? That I might receive you unto myself. We will be reunited, or should I say, united with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 spells that out very, very clearly. Receive you unto myself. So let not your heart be troubled. See, the disciples were troubled. They were troubled at what they had heard from the lips of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ instilled some hope, provided some comfort. And he provided the comfort of the very fact that there is an eternal home that awaits you, child of God. And that home is being prepared for you, and one day Jesus Christ will come again. He will come to collect you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior and take us to heaven. And we will be with him for all of eternity. So stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Stop being upset. No need to be concerned. Let not your heart be troubled. Then note the challenge then, verse number four. The Lord Jesus provided comfort and hope by his words to this troubled group of disciples. Then note then verse number four that he said, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus said, you know about this place. You are aware about this place. And you know how to get to this place. In other words, he was saying to his disciples, you should know. So why are you troubled? You should know about this place, and you should know how to get to this place called heaven, my Father's house. Let me ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we are challenged, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Because if you know him, then you know. You should know of this place. And you should know how a person gets this place if you know him. And then note verse number five, please. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Thomas was prepared as one of the disciples. He was prepared to honestly confess, Lord Jesus, we don't really know. I know we should know, but we don't really know. And what about you this morning? You know, you should know, but you'd have to admit you don't really know. And with that, the Lord Jesus said in verse number six, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord Jesus said to his disciples, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, don't you? Do you? Well, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, said Jesus Christ to his disciples, you know about this place and you know how to get to this place. But Thomas confessed, I'm not sure about that. And maybe that's your confession this morning. I'm not sure about that, Pastor. Well, may I encourage you that as Jesus Christ said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life to eternal life. And you can have a part in God's house if you will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you will receive him as your own personal Savior, then you can know personally the way, the truth, the life, which is in Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. Do you have that hope? In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible teaches us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. So let not your heart be troubled. When we see the present world through the lens of Scripture, we can rest in hope. And that's my encouragement for you and I this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Maranatha, our Lord cometh. That's our hope as Bible-believing Christians. And this is the hope that Jesus Christ was trying to instill into the hearts of this group of disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe in God? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior? For if you have, then we need to take comfort in the eternal word of God. That to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming to collect us, that we might be united with him for all of eternity in the Father's house. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You and I that believe in God, for those of us that are born again Christians, let me encourage you to choose to believe the words of Jesus Christ and hope in his eternal promise that one day he will come again. So therefore, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. There is no need to be upset. There is no need to be anxious. There is no need to be troubled. Because in Jesus Christ, we that believe in God can believe in his word and take hope, assurance from the word of God, knowing that one day Jesus Christ is coming again. To what end? To take us home into the Father's house that God the Son has prepared by dying on the cross for our sins. May God give comfort to our hearts this morning. May God encourage us to live with hope in this day. Let's pray.